Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
Come on.
Rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory? Lift your voices.
Hallelujah. You are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. We are live. It is Sunday, July 6th, 6:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In this evening's segment, we will follow up on the four apocalyptic horsemen, the revelation straight from heaven of the four apocalyptic horsemen. There's no need to speculate or hang out in the rumor court or theorize and philosophize, for the Lord has sent his end-time servant, the mighty prophet, Dr. David O'War, with the revelation from heaven. In the studio tonight, we're blessed to have several pastors with us from California. We have Pastor Jose Bobadilla, and also from New York altar, we have Pastor Neil DeMaio, and from the Maryland altar, we have Pastor Albano Scatira, and also I believe we have Pastor Raymond Ruffel from the Maryland altar as well, and we have a full house, and we bless the Lord for that. Before we get to the pastors and the message. Just one scripture as we hear the revelation of the four apocalyptic horsemen. Specific this evening's segment is the black horse and the red horse of the apocalypse. The scripture is Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 is the scripture for this evening's segment that we will hear from the mighty prophet. What the Lord is saying to the church, that this is the season, it is now time to prepare. Four horsemen of the apocalypse may be a surprise to most of the listeners, and the Lord has sent them one to awaken the church. And as we know, Christ taught as well in Matthew 24, these are the birth pangs that we also see in the book of Daniel as well. Jeremiah chapter 8, this is Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4, starting at verse 4, for a foundation, what the Lord is speaking to the church in the United States of America and across the globe with the release of the four apocalyptic horsemen. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4, "Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." Verse 6. "I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle." Verse 7. "Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord." That's Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, where even creation is understanding the seasons. And what about the church in the United States? Some aren't even aware that the horsemen have been released. The church is asking, what have we done? What have I done? And are we repenting of our wickedness? For this is the very purpose the Lord has sent the horsemen for, the oil and wine church, which the mighty prophet will get to, and the birth pangs before the rapture of the bride. And with that, I'd like to hand it off to Pastor Jose Bobadilla in the California altar. This is a very deep teaching. It's just the foundation for this evening's segment. Pastor Jose, I know you're familiar with the oil and wine teaching as the mighty prophet goes deeper and what the Lord is actually speaking from his throne today. What has the Lord placed on your heart for the precious listeners throughout the United States and the globe?
Amen, Pastor Lou. Shalom, amen. Precious pastors, and all the precious saints that are tuned in and will tune in later on in time as the Lord may lead. This is a very powerful time, and like you heard Pastor Lou say, we are being revealed the secrets of heaven at this moment. We have a very powerful messenger that has been sent by the Lord himself to prepare the church, the oil and the wine church, to prepare their garment, our garment, for the marvelous wedding banquet that is now ready to take place in heaven, as we have heard and know that the wedding rings are complete and are ready and are waiting in heaven for the bride, for the bridegroom to show up. This very marvelous time will soon take place. But first the bride needs to make herself ready. And this is the time that we need to be preparing for this marvelous event, this once in a lifetime, an eternal lifetime event that will take place. That if I know in my own personal life, I have been late to a lot of events or have not made it to very many, but this is something that with every bit of strength that the Lord has given me, I do not want to miss. And I have surrendered to the Lord to prepare for this event. Pray that all those that are tuned in may take these messages before the Lord, so that it too can be confirmed to you to prepare, because time is over. Time is over. The horsemen of the apocalypse have been released. We are seeing the fruits of this throughout the globe, on the news. Every time you watch the news, we are seeing the stock markets drop more and more every day. We are seeing money that continues to be printed being pumped in to the system to give a little bit more lifespan to the stock market, but there is no repair in sight, and there will not be. And our only solution as believers in the Lord is to prepare and to completely surrender and rely on Him and turn away from the world systems that we can see clearly will soon fail. And we know that all this will just explode the minute the bride has been removed and the Holy Spirit is taken from this world. I want to read from the word of the Lord, from verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. This is the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But no attention, and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." Precious saints, this is the time to heed to the warning that you are hearing. Now is the time to prepare our wedding garments so that we will not be thrown out, where weeping and gnashing of teeth will be. And we have heard that recently from the mighty messenger, from the word of the Lord, that all those that will be weeping and gnashing their teeth will be those that are left behind and will know they have been left behind when the rapture has taken place and the bride has been taken to this marvelous, spectacular, once-in-a-lifetime event, an event that will not be irreversible. Once it's gone, it's gone. Once those that are being left behind have been left, that is it. There is no changing that. But I bless the Lord so much for sending us a messenger so that we may prepare now, so that we may heed to the warnings of the Lord, so that we may take to heart this message and weep before the Lord in complete repentance and surrender to Him. And He is faithful and true. And His Holy Spirit is here with us. The heavens are open above us right now. And the Lord is feeding us fresh manna directly from heaven. We are hearing the word of the Lord directly as it comes from heaven. The Lord is here with us now. But when those heavens are shut, when the door is shut, the day of the rapture, when the Lord shuts the door, just like in the days of Noah, the Lord will shut the door. Those who are left will be in pitch darkness. And the Lord will not hear their cry. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jose. Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York altar. This is a shocking message, I'm sure, for all of the financial folks in New York, of the economic collapse. There are many, this is, by the way, for the listeners, welcome back. You're listening to the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen. And we'll get to the message of the Lord and the prophecy in a moment. But first, back to you, Pastor Nilda Mayo. This prophecy was released, I believe, in 2012, this Keshia, the actual prophecy of the Black Horse, as we'll hear, was released in 2008 in August, prior to Lehman Brothers collapse and debacle that went around the world at the speed of an electronic blip. That's how fast the contagion spread. But interesting, in this Keshia, which I believe was delivered in either 2011 or 2012, we will hear from the mighty prophet give some prophecies that we will see now and real time, particularly as it relates to Syria and the Middle East. But Pastor Nilda Maya, what has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening's segment on the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen?
Gracias. Pastor Lu, gloria a Dios.
Gloria a Dios.
Y también a todos los pastores que están con nosotros. Shalom.
Shalom.
Quería hablarle a los chando de habla española, que hablan el español. En este segmento vamos a escuchar una vigilia que fue, que ocurrió según pensamos es en agosto de 2012. Y en esa vigilia se habló mucho sobre los jinetes del caballo, de los caballos en Apocalipsis. Hemos estado escuchando mucho sobre el caballo, el jinete del caballo blanco, y ahora vamos a seguir adelante con el jinete del caballo rojo y el del caballo negro. Primero, aquí el pastor Lu y el pastor José dieron una introducción, una corta introducción a lo que se va a hablar aquí en este segmento. Sabemos que el Señor ha mandado a su siervo, el Señor ha mandado a su siervo, el profeta Dr. David Ovar, con esta poderosa revelación sobre los jinetes del Apocalipsis. El pastor Lu habló habló sobre la escritura en Apocalipsis 6, que es la que vamos a estar escuchando. También nos habló de Jeremías, leyó de Jeremías 8, versículos 4 al 7, y ustedes pueden leer esta importante escritura en su Biblia, por favor. En esta escritura se ve como incluso la creación reconoce los tiempos, las temporadas de Dios, pero el ser humano no ha reconocido los tiempos de Dios. Después el pastor José nos habló también de que es su profunda oración de todo su corazón para que la gente, para que todos nosotros podamos tomar este mensaje frente al Señor para que Él se los confirme. Porque ya los cuatro jinetes del Apocalipsis han sido soltados. Incluso tú puedes ver esto en tus noticias, cuando ves todo lo ocurrido, lo que el Señor nos dijo en Mateo 24, cuando les habló a los apóstoles de las señales de su venida. Y ahí está, el Señor explica punto a punto lo que va a acontecer, los terremotos, la hambruna que ha entrado con la crisis global mundial. También habló de ahí pueden leerlo también en Mateo 24, en cuando habla sobre el discurso del Monte de los Olivos. También dice el pastor José que la única solución para nosotros es prepararnos y tener 100% confianza en el Señor, porque apenas la novia haya sido llevada o quitada en conjunto con el Espíritu Santo, la luz del mundo se va y va a entrar una oscuridad que nunca se ha visto en la tierra. También leyó de Mateo 22, capítulo 22, versículo 1 al 14, y les recomiendo mucho que lo lean ustedes en sus Biblias, porque ese es el momento de preparar. El Señor cerrará la puerta cuando Él regrese, apenas Él regrese. Entonces, los que se han quedado van a llorar y van a crujir los dientes. Esos son los que van a ser dejados. Esto lo vio el poderoso profeta, el profeta Dr. David Aguad, en una visión reciente que tuvo del rapto, que vio e incluso pudo sentir cómo se sentían los que fueron dejados. Hermanos, esta es una oportunidad para que ustedes no sean parte de ese grupo. Sabemos que el Señor va a dividir a los grupos, los que se van con Él en el arrebatamiento y los que se quedan. En este momento todavía tenemos la oportunidad de ser, entrar al grupo de que se va. Pero para eso se requiere darle todo el corazón al Señor, sin reserva, sin, bueno, ser muy transparente con el Señor. Ahora, entonces, vamos al mensaje. Back to you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Gloria a Dios. Thank you, Pastor Nova. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Albanos from the Maryland altar, you uncorked a couple of the prophecies on a prior segment on the pale horse, and so we know you've got great familiarity as the mighty servant of the Lord. The man of God has released the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen directly to the church. It's for the church, so that the wonderful, precious listeners are tuned in now. Understand that this isn't for sale or merchandise or self-aggrandizement. No, this is the Lord speaking to the church. It's now time to wake up. It's now time to sober up. It's now time to prepare. Prepare for the coming of the Messiah, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, and to walk into the wilderness of repentance and not leave. Pastor Albanos of Maryland Altar, what's the Lord placed on your heart for this evening segment?
Thank you so much, Pastor Lou, Pastor Nilda, Pastor Jose, and Pastor Raymond, and our listeners. Bless you so much. I thank God for this chance for us to be together to glorify Him. And on that note, I would like to focus on that book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 6, and toward the end, God said, when He released the black horse, and he gave him the warning, do not damage the oil and the wine church. Then you go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, from verse 4, where it says, on one occasion, Jesus was eating with them. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you go to verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, and to our listeners, they might be wondering, who is this, the oil and the wine church? The oil, we all know the oil and the wine represent the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of the anointing. And when you walk under the anointing, there's no way you're going to make it as a Christian. We have spoken about this before on this program. There's no way you're going to make it as a Christian without the mighty Holy Spirit. And when you walk under the counsel of the mighty Holy Spirit, you're going to walk under the open heaven. This church, which is us, Christian, the mighty Holy Spirit is going to bring the fear of the Lord. Righteousness is going to be central to the life of that church. Repentance is going to be central to that to the life of that church. And that church is going to be separated. You're going to be separated from the world of churches. But if you look at the modern Christian, you don't see that. You don't see separation. The church does not want to be rejected. The church does not want to suffer. The church just want to be normal. At the same time, in the book of Isaiah 53, talk about our Lord Jesus is familiar with suffering, but you don't see that in the church. So again, and I know we're going to hear from the message, the Holy Spirit is central to the life of every Christian. Back to you, Pastor Lou.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Albanos. Very quickly, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, for the listeners, as you heard Pastor Albanos share, no one's walking this in the flesh. No one's making this without the mighty Holy Spirit. We see it again in Matthew 25 with the oil for the five wise virgins, whereas the five foolish virgins did not. This is Galatians 5:16, just two verses, a command. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Walking in the Spirit, we see this as a command throughout the Bible. And we see it was the mighty Holy Spirit that led the Messiah to the cross and crucified him. That's walking by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, to walk in righteousness and holiness in agreement with the Lord. Amen. Pastor Raymond Ruffel is with us from Maryland Altar. And what a blessing, Pastor Raymond. It's good to have you online in the studio. I know you've got some familiarity for sure with the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen. You're aware of the Lord's end-time servant and messenger, the Elijah, the Malachi 4:5 servant of the Lord. What has the Lord placed on your heart this evening for the listeners?
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, Pastor.
I'm very happy to join you. To join me today. All I have, I guess, at the hook. Spirit has put on my mind is just to reiterate pretty much what you guys have said as far as walking in the Spirit and just persevering, because the Bible talks about persevering as far as standing on the Word and not being part of the world, you know. Standing on the word of the Holy Spirit, you know. I think it's John where Jesus talks about he is the true vine and his father is the husbandman. If we do not abide in Christ, we are going to be able to persevere and endure. I think that would be John 6. In the Gospels, I'm not too sure, but Jesus talked about him being the true vine, and we have to abide in him, because anybody that does not, I mean, if you do abide in him, God will continue to prune you and you will continue to bear more fruit. And that's all that I have on my mind right now, is just praying for the strength of all of us to continue to abide in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. That's Pastor Raymond from Maryland Altar, abiding in Christ, walking with the Lord in the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. Let's get to the message of the Lord. This is the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen. If you're just joining us, we're covering the red horse and the black horse as revealed to the church. This was a live acacia. We'll hear from the Lord's end time servant, and we will be back after this segment.
Today, you will never forget this day again. How can you listen to the sound of God? You will never forget this day for all the days of your life. And listen to what he talks to me about. Listen to the servant of the Lord. Speak up for me like this up there. And that's all that is broken and defiled. It is a defiled altar. And it speaks to me from my right hand side again. He says, tell them to repair and restore my altar which lies in
ruins.
Tell them to restore my altar which is defiled. But he tells me that sin has defiled his altar. Time has passed. Time has changed. Listen, these children of Jehovah God. You cannot continue doing business as usual. One of the things the Father showed me, the house of the Lord, and he took me to heaven. And he opened the door to the throne room in heaven. He brought the ark of the new covenant right in front of me. And the cherubims on both sides. And the Father tells me, my boy, that represents the spiritual circumcision of your heart. The altar of God, which is your heart, has been defiled. Sexual sin, lying, deception. How can we lie in church? How can we not go and focus on the ways of God? Because without holiness, nobody sees the Lord. He's waiting to come back. He's waiting on you. Remember holiness. Holiness. It will cause you to separate yourself from sin. Separate yourself from sin.
mimi.
Follow my command.
Fata maagizo yangu.
Follow my ways.
Fata njia zangu.
And I'll restore you.
Nami nitawarejesha.
End time revival.
Kupitia nyakati za mwisho.
No man can stop it.
Hakuna mtu atakaye anaweza kuzuia.
All the nations of the earth.
Mataifa yote duniani.
They will know.
Watajua.
That there is a meeting here.
Hakuna mkutano hapa.
I have spoken to Jehovah God.
Nimenena kwake Jehovah Bwana.
So much rain coming over the fields.
Mvua nyingi ikinyeshea uwanja huu.
Spiritual rain.
Mvua ya kiroho.
Spiritual rain.
Mvua ya kiroho.
It is falling beginning from here.
This
is Adonai. For the Most High God. Lord, I have spoken with my prophetic tongue to them. I have spoken love and anointing. Heaven, listen to me. The earth, please listen to me. Listen the words of my mouth. I have spoken the release of the four white horses here. And the rain is falling. Hallelujah.
Thank you. watu wa thamani.
In this second segment,
katika hii awamu ya pili,
I would like to briefly look at the summary.
Ningependa kwa kifupi kuangazia muhtasari
of the four apocalyptic horsemen,
wa wapanda farasi wanne wa nyakati za mwisho,
and what they have achieved until right now,
na kile ambacho wametekeleza kufikia hivi sasa.
And this is important,
na hii ni ya muhimu,
because this is going to be able to put it together for you,
manake hii itaweza kukuunganishia
what the condition of the earth is,
hali ya dunia ilivyo,
and what the prophetic significance of that is,
na umuhimu wa kinabii wa hiyo,
in the kingdom of God,
katika ufalme wa Mungu,
and in the church,
na katika kanisa.
Well, I would like to begin with the rider of the white horse.
Na sasa ningependa kuanza na mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
In a summary,
katika muhtasari,
again I'm running through these four horsemen,
na tena ninapitia kwa haraka hawa wapanda farasi wanne,
that I may get to this most sensitive message of tonight,
ya kwamba nikapate kufikia ujumbe ulionyeti kabisa wa usiku wa leo,
about the war that is coming to Israel,
juu ya vita vinavyokuja kule Israeli,
and that is the kesha tonight,
na hiyo ndio kesha ya usiku wa leo.
But it would not be right to go to that war,
lakini haitakuwa vyema kuendea vita hivyo,
without emphasizing on the accomplishment of the four horsemen,
bila kusisitiza kutekelezwa kwa hawa wapanda farasi wanne,
which actually gives birth to the war that I'm going to describe, the war coming to Israel,
ambako kwa kweli kuzalisha vita vinavyokuja Israeli ambavyo naenda kuelezea.
But the first horseman,
lakini mpanda farasi wa kwanza,
the rider of the white horse,
mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe,
it's obvious that every building has now been brought,
ni dhahiri ya kwamba kila jengo sasa limeporomoshwa,
and no stone has been allowed to remain,
na hakuna jiwe lilokubaliwa kubakia juu ya lingine.
No stone has been left on another.
Hakuna jiwe lililoki juu ya jiwe lingine.
And that essentially describes the apostasy that has befallen the church.
Na hiyo kimsingi inaelezea kuko kutoka kwa imani ya kweli uliolifikia kanisa.
As a result of the falsehood that the rider of the first horse brought into the church.
Kama matokeo ya udanganyifu ambayo mpanda farasi wa farasi wa kwanza alileta kanisani.
And hence into the nations.
Na basi hata kwa mataifa.
It is very vividly obvious.
Iko wazi tena dhahiri kabisa.
That the state of apostasy in the church has actually aggravated.
Ya kwamba hali ya mwanguko kanisani hata imepanda zaidi.
And it's obvious today.
Na iko dhahiri tena kawaida leo.
That the church is adrift.
Ya kwamba kanisa limepotoka.
She has moved out of the way that the Lord charted for her.
Limesonga na kuondoka katika njia ile ambayo Bwana aliliundia.
Because the Lord spoke very clearly about the way that the church ought to pursue.
Manake Bwana alinena kwa wazi kabisa juu ya njia ile ambayo kanisa linapaswa kufuata.
And he said, I am the light of the world.
Na akasema kwamba mimi ndimi nuru ya ulimwengu.
And anyone that follows me,
yeyote anayenifuata,
cannot walk in darkness.
Hawezi kutembea gizani.
And in some versions they say cannot walk in the dark.
Na katika tafsiri zingine anasema kwamba hawezi kutembea katika giza.
But will shine the light that is the light of Christ.
Lakini ataangaza nuru iliyo nuru ya Kristo.
And have the life of Christ.
Na kuwa na uzima wa Kristo.
So you see that today the church, even in her condition.
Na kwa hivyo waona kwamba leo hii kanisa hata katika hali yake.
Ever since the release of the rider of the white horse.
Tangia kuachiliwa kwa mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
Things have gotten totally out of hand.
Mambo yameanguka, yameharibika kabisa kabisa.
And now there is blatant and open sinning.
Na sasa kuna kutenda dhambi kwa waziwazi kimakusudi.
By congregations.
Na washirika.
Members of congregations.
Washirika wa kanisani.
By the pulpit.
Na pia kwa madhabahu.
We know in Kenya here, for example, now it has almost become obvious for one bishop to dump a wife and marry a younger girl in the church.
Tunajua hapa Kenya imefanyika kawaida kabisa kwa askofu kumwacha mke wake na kuoa msichana mdogo kanisani.
In the same church where he preaches.
Na ni katika kanisa lile lile anamhubiri.
And that speaks of an extreme form of apostasy.
Na hiyo inanena juu ya mwanguko mkubwa zaidi.
And what I'm trying to underscore here.
Na kile ambacho ninajaribu kusisitiza hapa
is that when apostasy gets out of hand in that form.
Ni ya kwamba wakati huu mwanguko unaharibika hata kiasi kikubwa hivyo.
Then it also speaks about the time.
Basi pia unanena juu ya majira.
The time that is finished.
Wakati ambao umekwisha.
Because we know that there is no greater apostasy.
Manake tunajua kwamba hakuna mwanguko mkubwa zaidi
than the apostasy of the abomination of the desolation.
Kuliko ule mwanguko wa machukizo ya ukiwa.
That only happens when the church has been taken away.
Itakayotendeka tu wakati kanisa litakuwa limenyakuliwa.
There are many things that define the condition of the church today.
Kuna vitu vingi kabisa ambavyo vinaelezea hali ya kanisa leo hii.
That have arisen from the works of the rider of the white horse.
Vilivyotokana na kazi za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
And you can see that out of that he has dwindled the numbers that will make it into heaven.
Na unaona ya kwamba tokana na pale amepunguza idadi ya wale watakaoingia mbinguni.
All these things were spoken about the rider of the white horse.
Hivi vitu vyote vilinenwa juu ya mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
You can see that he has also dwindled the love for Christ in the church.
Waweza kuona ya kwamba pia ameharibu upendo kwa Kristo kanisani.
So it's very usual and normal today.
Na kwa hivyo ni jambo la kawaida kabisa siku hizi.
Out of the works of the rider of the white horse.
Tokana na kazi za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
To find that the majority of the body of Christ is actually lukewarm. Lukewarmness is a very serious sin before the Lord.
Uvuguvugu ni dhambi kubwa zaidi mbele za Bwana.
But to reach a place of numbness to lukewarmness.
Lakini sasa kufikia kile kiwango cha kufa ganzi mpaka kwa uvuguvugu.
Then surely the rider of the white horse.
Basi kwa hakika mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe
has made a great feat, a great achievement.
Ameshinda vikubwa sana.
You see also in various ministries of the church.
Waona pia katika huduma mbalimbali za kanisa.
The works of the rider of the white horse.
Kazi za mpanda farasi wa farasi mwekundu.
And so I won't dwell much on that.
Na kwa hivyo na sitashughulikia mengi sana kwa hayo.
But his works are very evident.
Lakini kazi zake zi dhahiri kabisa.
And yet he's the most deleterious, he's the most dangerous in the church.
Na ilihali yeye ndiye wa hatari zaidi kanisani.
Because he gets the church astray from the highway of holiness.
Manake analipotosha kanisa toka kwa njia kuu ya utakatifu.
And the church believes she's heading towards heaven.
Na kanisa linaamini ya kwamba liko barabara rani linaelekea binguni.
And yet she has taken another road, she has detoured, she has branched off the main way.
Ili hali limepotoka, limetoka kwa njia kuu, limechukua njia nyingine.
The danger there is not being able to recognize the fall.
Hatari mule ni kutoweza kutambua mwanguko.
So today in this highlight of the rider of the white horse.
Na basi leo hii katika kusisitiza athari za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
I want to bring it to you that.
Ningependa kuwasilishieni hivi.
The biggest achievement that the rider of the white horse has attained.
Ya kwamba matekelezo makubwa kabisa ambayo mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe ametekeleza.
Is to make the body of Christ.
Ni kufanya mwili wa Kristo.
Not realize that she has gone astray.
Ukose kutambua kwamba kwa kweli umepotoka.
In other words, you can call it to make the church spiritually numb.
Kwa maneno mengine waweza kusema kwamba kulifanya kanisa kufa ganzi kiroho.
Numb to sin.
Kufa ganzi kwa dhambi.
Numb to the ways of the Lord.
Kufa ganzi pia kwa njia za Bwana.
So the Lord at this hour.
Na kwa hiyo Bwana katika saa hii.
Is looking forward to the bride.
Anamtarajia biharusi.
The bride that has her heart not yet pierced.
Biharusi ambaye moyo wake bado haujachomwa chomwa.
By the sharp arrows of this rider of the white horse.
Na mishale mikali ya huyo mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe.
And I want to mention something very critical here.
Na ningependa kutaja jambo lilo nyeti zaidi hapa.
That when the Lord sent me to prophesy the release of the white horseman, the first.
Ya kwamba wakati Bwana alinituma nitabiri kuachiliwa kwa mpanda farasi wa kwanza ambaye ni mweupe.
At that time.
Wakati huo.
The effects.
Athari.
Of the effects of distress
athari za dhiki
that were being exerted upon the church and the nations
ambazo zilikuwa zikisukumwa juu ya kanisa na mataifa
were as a result of the rider of this white horse
zilikuwa zatokana na matokeo ya huyo mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe
name it corruption whatever
waweza kutaja ufisadi na kila kitu kingine
when the Lord sent me again to prophesy the coming of the rider of the red horse
na wakati Bwana alinituma mara tena nikatabiri kuachiliwa kwa mpanda farasi wa farasi mwekundu
and I'm going to share a little bit later deeper on this one here the red horse
na nitashiriki baadaye kilindini zaidi juu ya huyo mpanda farasi wa farasi mwekundu
Because when the Lord spoke to me about the rider of the red horse, he's coming.
Manake wakati Bwana alinenea juu ya kuja kwake mpanda farasi wa farasi mwekundu.
He also spoke to me about Israel.
Pia alininenea juu ya Israeli.
And that's why I will later come to that. It ties in a little bit to Israel.
Na ndio maana baadaye nitarejelea hii manake inaambatana na Israeli.
And very significantly by the way.
Na ni nyeti kabisa zingatia.
But anyhow, when the rider of the white horse
Lakini hata hivyo wakati mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe
is released.
Anapoachiliwa
he brings deception to the church.
Analeta udanganyifu kwa kanisa.
And the red horse the rider of the red horse
na mpanda farasi wa farasi mwekundu
red bloodshed red
nyekundu ni umwagaji wa damu
he brings bloodshed
analeta umwagaji wa damu
and we've seen the tremendous blood flow that has covered the earth
na tumeona kutiririka kwa damu kukuu kabisa ambako kumeenea duniani
and now also the third horseman
alafu sasa mpanda farasi wa tatu
when the rider of the black horse is released.
Wakati mpandaji wa farasi mweusi anaachiliwa.
The prophecy the Lord sent me to give across the earth until it happened.
Unabii ambao Bwana alinituma nikatabiri kote kote duniani mpaka ukatendeka.
And still now the earth is still reeling, not reeling, but undergoing the same, reeling would be healing, undergoing the same distress from the effects of the rider of the black horse.
Na mpaka wa leo bado dunia inapitia zile athari kali kabisa za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
And also the rider of the pale horse.
Na pia mpanda farasi wa farasi wa kijivujivu.
Until he was released.
Mpaka akaachiliwa.
Now, these four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Na sasa hawa wapanda farasi wanne wa nyakati za mwisho.
When they are all released.
Wakati wote wanaachiliwa.
Two, three or four together.
Wawili watatu ama wanne wote pamoja.
I want you to know.
Ningependa mkapate kujua.
That their effects are compounded together.
Ya kwamba athari zao zinaungamanishwa pamoja.
It is not that when the prophecy of the rider of the white horse is given.
Sio ya kwamba wakati unabii wa kuachiliwa kwa farasi mweupe unapeanwa.
And he is released.
Na kisha anaachiliwa.
And then the prophecy of the red horse, the second one is given.
Alafu unabii wa farasi wa pili mwekundu unatolewa.
And that when the red horse, the second one is released.
Na wakati farasi wa pili, yani mwekundu anaachiliwa.
It is not that now the effects of the white horse stop, they cease to be.
Sio kwamba sasa athari za farasi mweupe zinasimama sasa.
I want you to be able to see the escalation of the great distress that the four horsemen bring to the four ends of the earth.
Ninataka ukapate kuona hata kupanda kwa kiwango kwa dhiki kali kabisa ambao hao wapanda farasi wanne wanaleta kwa uso wa dunia.
It is as though 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 1 + 1 + 1 four times is not equal to 4.
Ni kana kwamba moja uongeze na moja mara 4 si 4.
It is an exponential effect.
Yani ni athari za kuzidishwa zaidi ya hapo.
It's a hyper effect.
Yani ni athari za kiwango cha juu zaidi.
Because now that they were all released.
Manake sasa ya kwamba wote wanne waliachiliwa.
You can see that the effects of the rider of the white horse are still going on and escalating in the church.
Waweza kuona kwamba athari za mpanda farasi mweupe bado zinaendelea, tena zinaendelea kupanda kanisani.
And you can see that at the same time the effects of the red blood, the red horsemen
are still going on and increasing exponentially.
Na waweza kuona ya kwamba athari za mpanda farasi wa pili yani mwekundu bado zinaendelea damu na zinaendelea hata zaidi.
There was the bloodshed that has covered the earth.
Vita, umwagaji wa damu ambao umefunika dunia.
The removal of peace from people and nations and so forth.
Kuondolewa kwa amani toka kwa watu na mataifa na mengineyo.
And that is further compounded by the effects of the global economic crisis and famine that come from the black horse.
Na hiyo inaunganishwa zaidi hata na athari za shida za kiuchumi za kote duniani na njaa zinazosababishwa na mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
And then plus the effects of the death, the ride of the fourth horse, the pale horse.
Alafu sasa ukichanganya na athari za mpanda farasi wa nne wa kijivujivu yani mauti.
In other words, you can say the effects of the horsemen are synergistic.
Kwa maneno mengine waweza kusema kwamba athari za hawa wapanda farasi wa nne zinaungamanishwa.
Again, I've said I would really want to come back to the release of the red horsemen because it touches directly on the prophecy on Israel that I'm going to handle today.
Na mara tena nimesema kwamba nitarejelea unabii wa kuachiliwa kwa mpanda farasi mwekundu, manake kuna ambatana moja kwa moja na unabii wa Israeli ambao unaenda kushughulikia leo.
But I want to focus a little bit on the third horseman.
Lakini inataka kwa kiasi kulenga huyo mpanda farasi wa tatu.
The rider of the black horse.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
And also on the fourth horseman.
Na pia mpanda farasi wa farasi wa nne.
And mention two key aspects.
Na kutaja masuala mawili yaliyo nyeti.
And then later I'll be able to visit with you the vision of the beast that comes from the sea.
Na kisha baadaye nitaweza kurejelea pamoja nanyi maono ya mnyama mkali anayetoka baharini.
So you can see that the Lord is transcending me now a little bit outside the realm of the church now.
Na waweza kuona kwamba tayari sasa Bwana ananitoa kidogo toka katika maeneo ya kanisa sasa.
Today I'm also going to feature the beast, the vision that the Lord spoke to me about and showed me, the beast that is going to come from the sea and devour, and I saw him devour a lot of fish. I'll share with you that vision today.
Na leo ninaenda kushiriki pamoja nanyi maono ambayo Bwana alinipa wakati alinionyesha mnyama mkali kabisa wa kutoka baharini ambaye anararua vikali mno.
And that is a little bit outside the dispensation, the realm of the grace.
Na hiyo iko kidogo nje ya majira ya neema.
And I will also share with you other visions.
Na pia nitashiriki pamoja nanyi maono mengine.
But first of all,
lakini mwanzo kabisa,
let us look at this third horseman. I would like to review very briefly using two items.
Ningependa kurejelea kwa kifupi kabisa kutumia vipengele viwili.
That you see accruing into your news.
Ambavyo mnaviona vikitendeka katika habari zenu.
That you may perceive.
Ili ya kwamba mukaelewe.
Comprehend and understand.
Mukapambanue na kufahamu.
The height of achievements, that the achievement that has been struck, that has been obtained by this rider of the third horse.
Kimo cha matekelezo ambacho kimefikiwa na huyu mpanda farasi wa tatu.
The rider of the black horse.
Yani mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
Let us listen to just a few news clips, after which I'm going to give you a commentary on that and give you the conclusion, the revelation therein.
Wacha tusikize awamu fupi tu za habari, baadaye kidogo nitatoa maoni kidogo na pia nitawapatieni ufunuo juu ya hiyo.
And this is what is happening right now.
Na hiki ndicho kinachotendeka hivi sasa.
Globally.
Kote kote duniani.
As a result.
Kama matokeo.
A direct result of this prophecy on the rider of the black horse.
Matokeo ya moja kwa moja ya unabii huu wa kuachiliwa kwa farasi mweusi.
More ratings woes for the European Union. Fitch has downgraded 5 countries that use the euro, including economic heavyweights Italy and Spain. The move, which also included Belgium, Cyprus, and Slovenia, Fitch lowered ratings for the 5 countries by 1 notch, also placed a negative outlook on them. Italy went down to A-, Spain slumped to an A. Additionally, a 6th country, Ireland, saw its triple B plus rating affirmed, but also received a negative outlook.
Economic revival hopes. Credit rating agency Standard & Poor's has stripped France and Austria of their top-notch credit rating, and rumors swell in financial markets that its debt-burden neighbors will be next, complicating Europe's efforts to solve its financial crisis. Standard & Poor's had warned 15 European nations in December that they were at risk of a downgrade. The downgrade could drive up the cost of European government debt. Higher borrowing costs would put more financial pressure on countries already contending with heavy debt burdens.
Greeks are venting their anger at even more planned cuts, which the EU is demanding in return for vital funds. Two more Greek ministers have quit over the deal, making it three resignations since its announcement. Police clash with protesters in Athens, firing tear gas in response to stones and firebombs. There have been reports of some injuries. Around 7,000 people gathered outside Parliament, while 10,000 communist supporters marched in another part of Athens. That's a two-day union strike brought the country to a standstill.
After all, this is not the first time that Greece has been asked to cut spending. It's been cutting spending now for 18 months, and in that period, it's fair to say that the Greek economy has entered a death spiral. In other words, there has been an economic collapse in Greece. Unemployment has gone up to 20%. 60,000 small businesses have gone out of business since the summer. So we are watching an economy now in free fall. This is people's livelihoods. People are going out of business. People are going hungry. Pensioners will not have enough to live off. This is a very, very dangerous situation in Greece at the moment.
Well, Standard & Poor's has downgraded the economies of 9 European countries, including France and Austria. Both of them lost their AAA ratings. Italy and Spain's rating has been dropped 2 notches. Meanwhile, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned that Europe still faces a long road ahead.
The decision made by Standard & Poor's rating agency confirms my conviction that we in Europe still have a long road ahead of us before the confidence of investors is restored.
Merkel made the comments after rating agency Standard & Poor's downgraded 9 Eurozone countries. France was downgraded one notch to AA+. Italy, Spain, Cyprus and Portugal were cut 2 notches, with the latter 2 given junk ratings. Austria lost its AAA rating, and Malta, Slovakia and Slovenia were downgraded by 1 notch. The downgrades restrict the ability of the nations to issue debt, precluding purchases by certain investors. In its new report, Standard & Poor's has criticized the bloc's response to its deepening debt crisis. The rating agency says Europe's austerity and budget discipline alone are not sufficient to fight the debt crisis and may become self-defeating.
Hallelujah. So, briefly,
na kwa hivyo kwa kifupi,
you can see the current news reportage,
waweza kuona ripoti za habari za hivi sasa,
that appertain directly to the direct effect,
ambazo zinaambatana moja kwa moja na athari za moja kwa moja,
direct effects of the rider of the black horse,
athari za moja kwa moja za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
Now, most recently,
na sasa hivi majuzi kabisa,
I was up on air here.
Nilikuwa moja kwa moja hapa hewani.
Late in the night.
Usiku ulioendelea mno.
When the Lord spoke with me, and that conversation was quite a very shaking conversation.
Wakati Bwana alinena pamoja nami na hayo mazungumzo yalikuwa mazungumzo ya kushtua sana.
And that was the first time I spoke the message of the Lord right after the Lord had just spoken. Few minutes after then I was live on air in the middle of the night.
Na hiyo ilikuwa mara ya kwanza kabisa kwangu mimi kupeana ujumbe wa Bwana papo hapo tu wakati Bwana amemaliza kunena nami nikapeana katikati mwa usiku.
When the messenger came from heaven,
wakati mjumbe alikuja toka mbinguni,
and stood right above the earth,
na akasimama pale juu ya dunia,
the messenger that was covered all over with bees up to the shoulder,
mjumbe aliyekuwa amefunikwa kote kote na nyuki mpaka mabegani,
with millions upon millions of bees,
na mamilioni juu ya mamilioni ya nyuki.
And I could see even his eyes, the eyelids, eyebrows, as the bees were dropping from the eyelids and so forth.
Na ningeweza kuona hata macho yake, kope za macho zake, na vile ambavyo nyuki walikuwa wakianguka toka katika hizo sehemu za macho.
And even as he spoke with me, I could see bees falling from the mouth as he opened the mouth speaking with me.
Na hata alipokuwa akinena pamoja nami, ningeweza kuona wale nyuki wakianguka toka kwa kinywa chake.
And it was astonishing, as I said in that conversation of the night, the shaking vision that shook me.
Na ilikuwa ya kushtua sana kama vile nilivyosema tokana na hayo maono ya Bwana ya usiku yalionishtua pia.
That he that was sent to speak with me.
Ya kwamba yeye aliyetumwa akanene pamoja nami.
He looked exactly like he who speaks with you today.
Anakaa sawa sawa kabisa na yeye anayewaneneni leo hii.
And when he spoke,
na aliponena,
he said, I have been sent to report to you.
Akasema nimetumwa nikuripotie.
To let you know.
Nikufahamishe.
That I have now collapsed all the financial institutions.
Ya kwamba sasa nimeporomosha taasisi zote za kifedha.
And so I woke up that night and faithfully transmitted this information.
Na kwa hivyo nikaamuka usiku huo na kwa uaminifu nikatangaza ujumbe huu.
But you can see in a nutshell.
Lakini waweza kuona kwa mhutasari.
That ever since the prophecy of the coming of the global economic crisis.
Ya kwamba tangia ule unabii wa kuja kwa shida za kiuchumi za kimataifa.
Was given here from Nakuru where we are broadcasting from.
Tangu ulipopeanwa toka hapa Nakuru tunakotangazia leo.
At the large ground next to the high school.
Kwenye uwanja mkubwa karibu na shule ya upili.
When I stood before millions of people and said, I have seen the release of the black horse.
Niliposimama mbele ya mamilioni ya watu na kusema kwamba nimeona kuachiliwa kwa farasi mweusi.
And I said, that is the book of Revelation chapter 6.
Na nikasema kwamba hicho ni kitabu cha Ufunuo mlango wa sita.
And that means there is a global famine.
Na hiyo inamaanisha kwamba kuna njaa ya kidunia.
Global economic crisis.
Shida za kidunia za kiuchumi.
That is coming to the earth.
Zinazoijia dunia.
We saw the first wave.
Tuliona lile wimbi la kwanza.
Which was quite devastating.
Ambalo lilikuwa la kuharibu haribu sawa sawa.
And we saw the shaking of the global financial markets for the first time in a major way.
Na tuliona kutingizwa kwa soko zote za hisa kwa mara ya kwanza katika wimbi kuu mno.
Barely 3 months from when the pronouncement was given here at Nakuru.
Hata haikukamilika miezi mitatu baada ya ule unabii kutolewa kutoka hapa Nakuru.
In fact, it was about 1 month after that prophecy because the prophecy was on August 23rd and 24th.
Na ilikuwa kwa kweli yapata mwezi moja tu tangia kutangazwa kwa unabii huo, maanake unabii ulitolewa tarehe 23 ya Agosti na tarehe 24 ya Agosti.
The year 2008.
Na mwaka ni wa 2008.
And you see, come early October, that prophecy was fulfilled across the globe.
Na waona ya kwamba mapema kabisa mwa Oktoba, unabii huo ukatimizwa kote kote duniani.
When the largest global investment bank.
Wakati benki kubwa kabisa ya uwekezaji ya kote duniani.
The Lehman Brothers.
Ile Lehman Brothers.
When the Lehman Brothers.
Wakati Lehman Brothers.
Finally collapsed.
Hatimaye wakaporomoka.
And when that bank collapsed.
Na wakati benki hiyo iliporomoka.
The holders of their stocks.
Washikaji wa hisa zao.
People that were holding stocks of their value, their stocks with given denominations of their value.
Watu waliokuwa wakiwekeza hisa zao na dhamani ya kiasi fulani.
They just woke up one day and realized that they had zero in their hands.
Wakaamka siku moja na wakapata kwamba wana sufuri mikononi mwao.
And that is what created the so-called domino effect.
Na hiyo ndio ilileta hiki kitu kinachoitwa domino effect.
That when the markets crashed from New York.
Ya kwamba wakati soko za hisa ziliporomoka toka New York.
They came all the way and passed through London.
Zilifululiza moja kwa moja zikapita London.
Passed through Frankfurt.
Zikapita Frankfurt.
Paris. All the way to Hong Kong.
Mpaka kule Hong Kong.
And Shanghai.
Na mpaka Shanghai.
And that is what crashed the global financial markets in less than 24 hours.
Na hicho ndicho kilichoporomosha soko zote za hisa chini ya masaa 24.
So precious people.
Kwa hiyo watu wa dhamani.
I remember too well that immediately I left South Korea.
Nakumbuka vyema kabisa kwamba mara moja tu nilipotoka Korea Kusini.
31st July.
Tarehe 31 ya Julai.
2010.
2010.
Then I went to Brisbane, Australia.
Basi nikaenda kule Brisbane, Australia.
Beginning first all the way to 4th of August 2010.
Kuanzia tarehe moja mpaka tarehe 4 ya Agosti 2010.
And I said.
Nami nikasema.
That I see a second bout of the global economic crisis coming by.
Ya kwamba ninaona wimbi la pili la shida za kiuchumi za kote duniani zikija.
And when I left Australia.
Na nilipotoka kule Australia.
And then we saw very slowly the creeping in of the second bout.
Na kisha tukaona polepole kabisa kule kujiingiza kwa awamu ya pili.
One time the nation of Greece just woke up.
Wakati moja taifa la Uyunani wakaamuka.
And found out.
Na wakapata.
That they had run out of cash.
Ya kwamba walikuwa wamepungukiwa na pesa kabisa kabisa.
And it was instant.
Na ilikuwa ghafla.
And there was a lot of blame that was laid to what accounting, who did not account well for what, but the financial situation had crashed.
Na kulikuwa na lawama nyingi ya kwamba ni katika uhasibu, sijui ni nani hakufanya uhasibu vizuri, lakini sasa hali yao ya kiuchumi ilikuwa imeporomoka.
What has been happening?
Kile ambacho kimekuwa kikitendeka
is the manifestation and the fulfillment.
Ni dhihirisho na kutimizwa
of that vision of August 19th.
Kwa hayo maono ya Agosti tarehe 19.
When I saw the rider of the black horse going to all nations, going across the nations of the earth.
Nilipomuona mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi akikimbia kote kote katika kila taifa la dunia.
And so you see that he goes to the nations.
Na basi waona kwamba anaenda kwa mataifa.
One after the other.
Taifa moja baada ya lingine.
In one of those rounds of his.
Na katika moja wapo ya hizo safari zake.
When he came upon Greece.
Alipokabiliana na Ugiriki.
Then we saw what happened to Greece.
Basi tukaona kile kilichotendeka kule Uyunani.
And today it is still a developing story.
Na mpaka wa leo ni hali inayoendelea kuharibika.
I said I wanted to use Greece. And I will use a little bit of Italy, maybe Portugal and Spain a little bit later, but especially Greece.
Nilisema nitatumia Uyunani labda baadaye kidogo nikuzie Portugal na Italy na mengineyo, lakini kwanza kabisa Uyunani.
But Greece is a classical example.
Uyunani ni mfano mwafaka kabisa
of the achievement of the rider of the black horse.
Wa matekelezo ya mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
In other words, when he crashed the global economy.
Kwa maneno mengine ni kwamba alipoporomosha uchumi wa kidunia.
Then the classic example is when he narrowed down and he passed by Greece. That means the rider of the black horse passed through Greece.
Basi mfano mwafaka ni wakati sasa alilenga Uyunani na akapita kule Uyunani. Inamaanisha kwamba huyo mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi kweli alipita Uyunani.
When you see in your news.
Unapotazama katika habari zako.
The great devastation and the ravaging economic crisis in Greece.
Ile hali ya kiuchumi ya uharibifu kabisa kabisa kule Uyunani.
Or any country.
Ama taifa lingine lolote.
You should be able to understand in the spirit. Sense,
unapaswa kuelewa katika hali ya kiroho
that the rider of the black horse,
ya kwamba huyo mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi,
has essentially
kimsingi
crossed over, he has passed through that land,
amepita katika nchi hiyo.
And this should be very scary,
na hii yapaswa kuwa ya kutisha sana,
because that means if he has not yet crossed your country or other countries.
Manake yamaanisha kwamba ikiwa bado hajapita katika nchi yako ama mataifa mengine.
There is every opportunity that he is coming.
Kuna kila nafasi ya kwamba ndio anakuja.
But anyhow.
Lakini hata hivyo.
The collapsing of the global economy.
Kule kuporomoka kwa uchumi wa kote duniani.
And then the story of Greece.
Alafu sasa hadithi ya Uyunani.
You have seen the tremendous riots in the streets.
Mumeona zile ghasia kubwa kabisa mitaani.
Including the bloodshed in the streets.
Hata umwagaji wa damu mitaani.
Because of the great austerity measure, the great financial tightening of the belt.
Kwa sababu ya sheria kali kabisa, kukaza kamba kabisa kwa kifedha.
You see every time in the news.
Waona kila mara katika habari.
That if Greece is not bailed out.
Ya kwamba ikiwa Uyunani hayokolewi.
By the Eurozone.
Na Eurozone.
Greece is going to be bankrupt.
Uyunani yaenda kufilisika.
And that tells you,
na hiyo inakuambia,
that Greece is essentially bankrupt.
Ya kwamba Uyunani kimsingi imefilisika.
And she's essentially depending on begging from the euro, the European bank or the eurozone.
Na kimsingi anategemea kuombaomba kutoka eurozone ama European bank.
And you can see how many people have lost their jobs in Greece.
Na waweza kuona ni wangapi wamepoteza kazi zao kule Uyunani.
And if you look at the projections that are being spoken right now in Greece,
na ukiona yale mazungumzo ambayo yanazungumzwa hivi sasa kule Uyunani,
they are projected like they will be losing, they will be laying off 150,000 workers per given time, which means it's like planning to lay off the whole nation.
Wanaongea mazungumzo kama haya ya kwamba wanaenda kuwaachisha watendakazi 150,000 wakati moja, alafu wakati mwingine tena wengine. Kwa hivyo kimsingi ni kana kwamba wanaenda kuwaachisha kazi taifa lote zima.
But if you want to understand how complicated and how devastating this rider of the black horse is,
lakini ikiwa wataka kuelewa jinsi alivyo mkali kabisa tena wa kuharibu haribu mno huyu mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
We know that for any country to have an economic growth, economic recovery,
twajua ya kwamba kwa taifa lolote kuwa na ukuaji wa kiuchumi ama uponyaji wa kiuchumi,
there must be economic activity in that country.
Lazima kuwepo na matendo ya kiuchumi katika taifa hilo.
And economic activity in a country,
na matendo ya kiuchumi katika taifa hilo,
depends on the spending ability of the citizenry.
Yanategemea matumizi ya kifedha ya raia.
That people may go use M-Pesa, go to kiosk, buy bread, but that they may have some purchasing power.
Ya kwamba watu waende watumie M-Pesa, waende kwenye kioski wanue mkate, yani wawe na uwezo wa kutumia fedha zao.
But what is happening in Greece is too complicated right now.
Lakini kinachotendeka Uyunani ni tatanishi mno hivi sasa.
Because by laying off almost, I don't know how many, what percentage of the population.
Manake kwa kuachisha kazi sijui ni asilimia ngapi ya raia wa Ugiriki.
First of all, you are rendering them unemployed.
Kwanza kabisa ni kwamba unawaacha bila kazi.
And so they have no jobs, no income.
Na basi hawana kazi, hawana njia ya mapato.
And when they have no money to spend,
na wakati hawana pesa za matumizi,
how will Greece come out and experience economic growth again?
Yawezekanaje kwamba Ugiriki itajitoa pale iwe na ukuaji wa kiuchumi tena?
There must be a spending ability.
Lazima kuwepo na ile hali ya utumizi wa pesa.
Even in Kenya you can see.
Hata hapa Kenya waweza kuona.
That as people spend, the economy grows.
Ya kwamba wakati watu wanatumia pesa zao uchumi unanenepa.
15 bob, you buy a box of matches, 10 bob, you buy Uzi, you buy Skumawiki. You know, that is what builds the economy. That's economic activity.
Shilingi 15 unanua kiberiti, shilingi 10 unanua Uzi, unanua Skumawiki. Hiyo ndiyo inayojenga uchumi.
But how then does Greece expect to experience growth and recovery from that fall?
Lakini sasa ni kwa jinsi gani Uyunani inatarajia kuona ukuaji wa kiuchumi na pia uponyaji toka katika mwanguko huo?
When people are being laid off and they don't have money to spend, so there is no economic activity.
Wakati watu wanaachishwa kazi na hawana pesa za matumizi, kwa hivyo hakuna matendo yoyote ya kiuchumi.
The effects of the rider of the black horse,
athari za mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi,
are indeed extremely devastating.
Kwa hakika ni za kuharibu haribu sana.
And Greece is a classical example.
Na Uyunani ni mfano mwema kabisa.
But in the news clips that we just played right now,
lakini katika zile awamu fupi za habari ambazo tumecheza hivi sasa,
the news reportage we just played about the eurozone alone,
ripoti za habari ambazo tumecheza juu ya eurozone peke yake,
you see very clearly the reportage saying, the analysts,
waona kabisa ya kwamba hawa wadadisi wanasema hivi,
that the Italian economy,
ya kwamba uchumi wa Italia,
is essentially one third of the EU economy.
Kimsingi ni thuluthi moja ya uchumi wa muungano wa Europa.
And is much 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 bigger than the Greek economy.
Na ni mkubwa mno mno sana kushinda uchumi wa Uyunani.
And yet we know that Italy, even as you've heard in the reportage,
na ili hali twajua vyema kabisa kwamba Italia, hata kama vile umesikia katika ripoti,
that Italy is experiencing a grave financial crisis right now.
Ya kwamba Italia inakabiliana na shida kubwa sana sana ya kiuchumi hivi sasa.
In fact, there was even a change of leadership in Italy and Greece both.
Nakumbuka mpaka ikabidi kuwepo na kubadilishwa kwa uongozi Italia mpaka Uyunani pia.
And you heard what was spoken in the news reportage.
Na mlisikia kilichonenwa katika ripoti za habari.
That Greece, at least there is a trial to bail her out.
Ya kwamba Uyunani anga kuna majaribio ya kuiokoa.
But Italy is impossible to bail out because her needs are too big. Even the IMF does not have the money for it.
Lakini Italia haiwezekani kuiokoa. Manake mahitaji yake ni mengi kabisa, hata IMF haina uwezo wa kuiokoa.
But we know that the Spanish economy in Spain is the same thing.
Lakini tunajua kwamba uchumi wa Spain kule Europa ni vivyo hivyo pia.
And we know that the Portuguese economy is still heading south also.
Na tunajua kwamba pia kwamba uchumi wa Portugal pia unaporomoka chini.
And we know that right now the Chinese economy is slowing down.
Na tunajua kwamba hivi sasa uchumi wa Kichina pia unashuka chini.
2 days ago the Indian economy, the massive Indian economy, was now slowing down at a much faster rate 2 days ago.
Siku mbili zilizopita uchumi mnene kabisa wa India ulikuwa unateremka kwa hali ya kasi ya juu kabisa.
The economic crisis that appertains the US economy is obvious.
Shida za kiuchumi zinazoambatana na uchumi wa umoja wa majimbo ya Marekani ni dhahiri.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
The rider of the black horse.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
The black horse of the apocalypse.
Farasi mweusi wa nyakati za mwisho.
That I prophesied.
Ambaye nilimtabiri.
As coming from the throne of God.
Ya kwamba anakuja toka katika kiti cha enzi cha Mungu.
I think that became one of the most humongous prophecies that the Lord ever sent me to give.
Huo ulifanyika mojawapo ya unabii mkubwa mnene zaidi ambao Bwana amewahi kunituma nikatabiri.
That has become fulfilled.
Ambao umekuja kutimia.
It has devastated nation upon nation.
Umerarua na kuharibu taifa juu ya taifa.
The entire globe is perpetually involved in a conversation about the economic crisis, the fear of recession, the fear of depression.
Ulimwengu wote mzima umehusika katika mazungumzo na hofu juu ya hali ya kiuchumi, hofu ya kuporomoka kiuchumi, hofu ya kuangamia kiuchumi.
Remember the countries that used to pride themselves as the rich European countries.
Kumbukeni mataifa yaliyokuwa yakijionea fahari kuwa mataifa tajiri ya Kiuropa.
That had a lot of reserves. Had very stable economies.
Yaliokuwa na akiba nyingi kabisa, yani uchumi dhabiti kweli kweli.
The countries that were known to be fully established and to be lenders.
Mataifa yaliyojulikana kwamba yamedhibitika imara, tena yanakopesha mengine.
In Europe.
Kule Europa.
Now you can see for yourself.
Sasa mwaweza kujionea wenyewe.
Out of the effects, the achievement of the rider of the black horse.
Tokana na mafanikio ya mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
The largest economy on the earth.
Uchumi mkubwa zaidi kote duniani.
The US economy.
Uchumi wa Marekani.
Is battling right now with the debt crisis, national debt.
Unang'ang'ana hivi sasa na shida ya deni la kitaifa.
And very great unemployment.
Na pia kutoajiriwa kukubwa sana.
And what amazes me.
Na kile kinachonishangaza.
Something called credit rating of a country, of a nation.
Kuna kile kitu kinaitwa vipimo vya kiuchumi vya taifa.
That when a nation is very wealthy.
Ya kwamba wakati taifa ni tajiri sana.
And highly established.
Na limedhibitika na kuimarishwa vizuri.
She is rated as a AAA, 3 A's, AAA rating.
Linahesabiwa kuwa na A mara tatu, yani AAA katika hali ya kiuchumi.
Like somebody doing an exam, KCSE and getting AAA, AAA.
Yani ni mfano wa mtu anayefanya mtihani wa KCSE, alafu anapata A mara tatu, AAA.
It is as though those nations did an exam that tests their economies, their financial wealth.
Ni kana kwamba hayo mataifa yalifanya mtihani ambao unatahini uwezo wao wa kiuchumi.
Wa kifedha.
Uwezo wao wa kifedha.
And then they got triple A, they got all A's.
Alafu zikapata A mara tatu, A zote mara moja.
And then now, when the Lord finally sends me to prophesy this ominous rider of the black horse.
Alafu sasa wakati Bwana ananituma ya kwamba nikamtabiri huyu mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi ambaye ni mkali sana.
And then you see finally.
Alafu waona kwamba hatimaye.
The US economy crashes.
Uchumi wa Marekani unaporomoka.
To the extent.
Kufikia kiwango kwamba.
That manufacturing is reduced.
Ya kwamba utoaji katika viwanda unapunguzwa.
The biggest companies like General Motors that were well established globally.
Makampuni kubwa kubwa kama General Motors ambazo zilikuwa zimeimarishwa kote duniani.
Finally almost filing bankruptcy. The government has to bail them out.
Hatimaye karibu zinafilisika kabisa kabisa, serikali inabidi ziokowe.
And then we see in the US.
Alafu tuona kule Marekani.
That finally their triple A rating is downgraded for the first time since America was created.
Ya kwamba hatimaye kipimo chao cha AA mara tatu kinaporomoshwa kabisa tangu taifa la Marekani lilipoumbwa.
But we see the same thing happening in Europe.
Lakini tuona jambo lilo hilo likitendeka Europa.
In the news reportage you heard.
Katika habari za ripoti ambazo tumepokea.
You heard that the banks were being downgraded.
Ulisikia ya kwamba benki zilikuwa zinashushwa.
The rich countries like France.
Mataifa tajiri tajiri kama Ufaransa.
Wealthy.
Yenye ukwazi.
Affluent.
Yenye utajiri.
Financially established.
Yani yameimarishwa kifedha.
Finally have been downgraded.
Hatimaye yameporomoshwa.
And on one day 15 European nations were all downgraded.
Na kwa siku moja mataifa 15 ya kiuropa yote yakaporomoshwa.
This very year 2012, precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
Societe Generale.
Societe Generale.
One of the biggest banks in France.
Moja wapo ya benki kubwa kabisa kule Ufaransa.
Downgraded.
Ikaporomoshwa.
Even Santander.
Hata Santander.
The biggest France, the biggest bank in Spain.
Banki kubwa kabisa kule Spain.
Downgraded.
Ikaporomoshwa.
The rider of the black horse.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
He has made significant achievements across the globe.
Amefanya mafanikio makubwa mno kote kote duniani.
He has unleashed a distress that the earth has not seen before.
Ameachilia dhiki ambayo mataifa hayajawahi kuona tangia mwanzoni.
And when it comes to the famine.
Na ikifikia njaa sasa.
We remember when what happened in the Horn of Africa last year.
Tukumbuka kile kilichotendeka kwenye pembe ya Afrika mwaka jana.
And is still going on in Somali even today.
Na bado yaendelea Somalia hata mpaka leo.
We remember the great famine that struck Kenya also.
Tukumbuka njaa kali kabisa ambayo iligonga Kenya pia.
Last year.
Mwaka jana.
And parts of Kenya are still experiencing that famine.
Na sehemu za Kenya bado zinapitia hiyo njaa.
We remember the famine that hit Ethiopia.
Tukumbuka njaa iliyogonga Ethiopia.
And until now there is still a lot of ravaging famine and hunger.
Na mpaka wa sasa kuna njaa kali kabisa na ukame.
Large numbers of people are dependent on handouts from refugee agencies.
Idadi kubwa kabisa ya watu inategemea misaada toka kwa mashirika ya wakimbizi.
But now look at what the United Nations has just announced about the Sahel region.
Lakini ona kile ambacho Umoja wa Mataifa umetangaza juu ya Sahel region.
Just about 5 days ago.
Yapata siku tano tu zilizopita.
That is the region of Chad, Mauritania, all those countries around the Sahel region.
Yani hilo ni
including Nigeria, northern Nigeria.
Hilo ni eneo la mataifa kama vile Nigeria kaskazini, Mauritania, Chad vivyo hivyo.
Mauritania. And you see that they are saying a most historic famine that has never happened has come to that region and it's just beginning to take shape.
Na waona kwamba wanasema kwamba njaa kali zaidi ambayo haijawahi kuonekana imefikia eneo hilo na ndio imeanza tu kujengeka.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
The rider of the black horse of the apocalypse.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi wa nyakati za mwisho.
Whose prophecy I gave.
Unabii wake niliyoutoa.
On that August 19th vision 2008.
Katika hayo maono ya Agosti tarehe 19 mwaka 2008.
when I said that the third seal on the scroll of God in heaven was about to be broken,
ya kwamba muhuri wa tatu kwenye gombo la Mungu juu mbinguni ulikuwa karibu kuvunjwa,
and that when that seal will be broken,
na ya kwamba wakati muhuri huo utavunjwa,
even according to the words of my tongue,
hata sawasawa na maneno ya ulimi wangu,
that then the black horseman will be released,
ya kwamba sasa mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi ataachiliwa,
and he will go across the entire earth,
na atapita kote kote duniani kote,
bringing a most abhorrible financial crisis,
akileta shida kali kabisa za kifedha,
big historic unemployment,
na pia kutoajiriwa kukubwa kabisa,
freezing the credit line,
na kugandamiza credit lines,
bringing famine,
kuleta njaa,
and hence generating dispute on how this can be solved,
na basi kuibua mzozo juu ya vile hii yaweza kutatuliwa.
Look at the way the Eurozone is struggling now to keep Europe in one piece.
Ona vile Eurozone inang'ang'ana hivi sasa ili kupatanisha Europa katika umoja.
The Eurozone was established and declared the wealthiest conglomeration of states.
Eurozone iliimarishwa na ikatangazwa ya kuwa muungano mkubwa kabisa wa majimbo tajiri.
Established states that would never be shaken by anything else, anything ever.
Majimbo yaliyoimarishwa dhabiti ambayo hayatawahi kutingizwa na chochote kile.
But now look at the fact that every time in the news, what you read is that if the euro goes, bye-bye Eurozone.
Na waona kile ambacho unasoma na kusikiza katika habari zako kila wakati, ya kwamba ikiwa euro itaenda, kwa heri Eurozone.
The euro currency.
Yani zile fedha ama sarafu za kiyuro.
That if the euro currency will collapse,
ya kwamba ikiwa sarafu za kiyuro zitaporomoka,
it will be a catastrophe because the Eurozone will split.
Itakuwa dhiki, janga, manake sasa eneo la euro, mataifa ya euro yatabomoka.
What is amazing me now,
kile ambacho kinanichangaza sasa,
is that because the Eurozone countries are tired of carrying Greece, of carrying the burden, the debt burden of Greece,
ni kwa sababu yale mataifa yanayotengeneza Eurozone yamechoka na kubeba huu mzigo wa deni la Uyunani,
Germany for example,
kwa mfano Ujerumani,
and the rest,
na mengineyo.
They have now reached a point where they have said,
sasa wamefikia mahali pale ambapo wamesema,
that even if Greece is gets out of the Eurozone, it's okay,
ya kwamba hata kama Uyunani itatoka kwa Eurozone ni sawa,
which means the splitting is beginning,
kumaanisha kwamba ule muanguko, mgawanyiko umeanza.
Look at the mighty achievements of the rider of the black horse of God, the black horse of apocalypse.
Angalia mafanikio makubwa ya mpanda farasi mweusi wa Mungu, mpanda farasi mweusi wa nyakati za mwisho.
That is absolutely stunning.
Hiyo ni ya kushangaza sana.
What one horseman can do to the entire globe.
Kile ambacho mpanda farasi mmoja tu aweza kufanya kwa dunia nzima.
And Jesus said,
na Yesu Kristo akasema,
in Matthew 24 verse 8,
na tena ni katika Mathayo 24 mstari wa 8,
the Lord said,
Bwana akasema,
all these are the beginning of birth pain.
Na haya yote ndiyo mwanzo wa utungu.
You are all aware of the heavily prophesied global economic crisis.
Nyote mwafahamu kabisa juu ya unabii uliotabiriwa vizito kabisa wa dhiki za kiuchumi za kidunia,
that will take place in the tribulation,
zitakazotendeka katika majira ya dhiki,
and the great tribulation,
na majira ya dhiki kuu.
So if all this that we are seeing, which the whole earth has succumbed to,
na kwa hivyo ikiwa haya yote tunayoyaona ambayo ulimwengu wote mzima umeanguki,
is just the beginning of birth pain,
ni mwanzo tu wa utungu,
then how much more horrendous is the true economic crisis of the true birth pain.
Na basi je, shida za kiuchumi za kweli za wakati wa dhiki ni kali zaidi kiasi kipi basi?
The economic crisis that will accrue during the tribulation.
Shida za kiuchumi zitakazotokea wakati wa dhiki.
You see a lot of strikes and riots in France, strikes and riots in Kenya, by the doctors, by the nurses, in India. In India, 2 days ago, there was a national strike by all workers.
Waona migomo na ghasia za watenda kazi, hata hapa Kenya, madaktari, wauguzi. India, siku mbili zilizopita, kukawa na migomo na ghasia na watenda kazi wote.
When I looked at the rider of the black horse,
Nilipo mtazama mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi.
On that day when the Lord spoke to me about that prophecy.
Siku ile wakati Bwana alininenea juu ya unabii huo.
I looked at how ferocious he was roving around the earth.
Nilimtazama jinsi alivyokuwa akipita kote kote duniani kwa ukali na nguvu.
And I tallied that.
Na nikalinganisha hiyo.
With the frowning face of the third creature that the Lord showed me that brought very close, that went back and released him.
Na ule uso uliokuwa na mishazari wa yule kiumbe mwenye uhai wa tatu ambaye Bwana alimtuma kwangu alipomwachilia huyo mpanda farasi mweusi.
The third creature around the throne of Jehovah.
Kiumbe wa tatu mwenye uhai anayezunguka kiti cha enzi cha Jehova.
When I looked at the seriousness of the frowning of his glorious face.
Nilipoangalia kule kumaanisha kabisa kwa uso wake wa utukufu.
And I tied that with the ferocious roving of this rider of the black horse across the earth.
Na nikaunganisha na ule ukali wa kupita kote kote kwa huyu mpanda farasi mweusi anayepita kote duniani.
In that morning,
hiyo asubuhi,
I say to myself,
nikajiambia,
that surely, surely,
ya kwamba hakika, hakika,
verily, verily,
amin, amin,
the devastation he will bring to the earth,
uharibifu atakaouleta duniani,
will be as ominous as his roving round,
utakuwa mkali zaidi sawasawa na safari zake za hapa na pale,
as ominous as his ferociousness,
kali kabisa kama vile ukali wake,
and as serious as the frowning of the face of the third creature around the throne of God.
Na za kumaanisha nyeti zaidi kama vile mikunjo ya uso wa yule kiumbe wa tatu mwenye uhai anayezunguka kiti cha enzi cha Mungu.
Who released him?
Aliyemwachilia.
And until today.
Na hadi wa leo.
This is still a developing story.
Hii bado ni hadithi inayoendelea.
You find that leaders of government.
Wapata ya kwamba viongozi wa maserikali.
Their election in elections.
Yani katika kuchaguliwa kwao.
In the elections.
Katika uchaguzi wao.
Is now strongly hinged on economic crisis. Or economic, what can he do for the economy?
Yani kuna ambatana.
How can he solve this economic puzzle?
Kuna zingatiwa na swala kwamba atawezaje kutatua hii shida ya kiuchumi.
We see in the US, the elections that are coming are greatly anchored. They are hinged on the economy of the US.
Tuona kule Marekani uchaguzi unaokuja umekita mizizi, umewekwa juu ya swala la uchumi wa Marekani.
We see in France now Nicolas Sarkozy that his re-election is directly hinged onto the economy of France.
Na tuona kule Ufaransa kuchaguliwa tena kwa Nicolas Sarkozy kunaambatanishwa moja kwa moja na uwezo wake wa kurejesha uchumi wa Ufaransa.
We saw in Ireland what happened when the prime minister was thrown out and the new one came in because of the economy.
Tuona kule Ireland kilichotendeka wakati waziri mkuu alitupwa nje mwingine akachaguliwa kwa sababu ya uchumi.
UK many places.
Uingereza pia na maeneo mengine.
Surely the rider of the black horse.
Kwa hakika mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi
has made a global, significant global achievement.
Amepata mafanikio ya kiuchumi ya kote duniani.
But what is the spiritual message? What is the secret behind that? What is the hidden message now?
Lakini sasa ujumbe fiche wa kiroho ama siri nyuma ya hayo ni ipi?
That when you see him achieve a climax, a max,
ya kwamba unapomuona akifanikiwa na kilele sasa,
a maximum of the mission is achieved,
kilele cha misheni yake amefanikiwa nayo,
that can also tell you,
hiyo pia inaweza kukwambia
very clearly that the mission of the whole four horsemen,
kwa wazi kabisa kwamba misheni ya hawa wapanda farasi wanne
is achieved,
imefanikiwa.
That can also tell you,
hiyo pia inaweza kukwambia
that the earth
has now been ripened enough.
Ya kwamba dunia sasa imeivishwa vya kutosha.
Remember, the four horsemen of the apocalypse come to ripen the earth.
Kumbuka ya kwamba wapanda farasi wa hawa farasi wanne wanakuja kuivisha dunia.
They come to ripen the earth.
Wanakuja kuivisha dunia.
For tribulation.
Kwa ajili ya dhiki.
For the Antichrist.
Kwa ajili ya mpinga Kristo.
And so I want to move very slowly back. I want to regress again. Move back to the second horseman.
Na basi ninataka kurejelea nisonge nyuma kidogo mpaka kwa farasi, kwa mpanda farasi wa pili.
As I begin to touch on Israel.
Wakati ninaanza kuguzia Israeli.
I want to use the vision of April 2nd, 2004.
Nataka kutumia maono ya Aprili tarehe 2, 2004.
Which I'm going to describe.
Ambayo naenda kuelezea.
When the glory covered the throne.
Wakati utukufu ulifunika kiti cha enzi.
The Lord lifted me up and I stood before the throne of God.
Bwana aliniinua juu na nikasimama mbele ya kiti cha enzi cha Mungu.
And the glory covered his throne.
Na utukufu ukafunika kiti chake cha enzi.
And all of a sudden the moon appeared.
Alafu ghafla mwezi ukatokea.
And then I saw the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world.
Na kisha nikamwona mwana kondoo wa Mungu aliyechinjwa kwa ajili ya dhambi za ulimwengu.
Then I saw first of all half of the moon turn into blood.
Alafu kwanza kabisa
bloody.
Alafu kwanza kabisa nikaona nusu ya mwezi ukigeuka na kuwa kama damu.
And then it became totally bloody.
Alafu ukafanyika wote mwekundu kama damu.
And then it overshadowed.
Alafu ukafunika.
It began the bloodiness overshadowed the whole earth.
Ile damu ile mwekundu ukafunika dunia nzima.
And then he took me to Israel.
Alafu akanipeleka Israeli.
Showed me a few things that we are going to share in the next segment.
Akanionyesha mambo machache ambayo tutashiriki katika awamu ifuatayo.
Because in that discussion,
manake katika hayo majadiliano,
I'm now going to slowly move into Israel.
Sasa kwa polepole ninaenda kuingia Israeli.
But before I do that,
lakini kabla nifanye hivyo,
I will also use one highlight.
Pia nitatumia swala moja
to underscore the achievement of the rider of the pale horse.
Kusisitiza mafanikio ya mpanda farasi wa farasi wa kijivujivu.
Ever since he was released.
Tangia alipoachiliwa.
And I'm going to focus on the case in Syria.
Na nitaenda kuangazia hasa sana hali ya Syria.
I know Libya is a classic case of his own merit.
Najua kwamba Libya ni mfano mwafaka kabisa kwa viwango vyake.
I know that Egypt is a classic case in Tahrir Square of what its merit.
Na najua kwamba ya kwamba Misri pia ni mfano mwema kabisa pale Tahrir Square
where the pale horseman was released.
Mahali pale ambapo farasi wa kijivujivu aliachiliwa.
I know the case in Yemen is a classic case on its own.
Najua kwamba kesi ya Yemen ni mfano mwafaka kivyake.
I know that the case in Bahrain is classic and warrants its merit.
Najua kwamba kesi ya Bahrain ni kesi kivyake tena inastahili kivyake.
But when we come back on the other segment, on the other side of this short worship break.
Lakini tukirejea katika ngambo ya pili ya hiki kipindi kifupi cha ibada.
We will see, I'll bring to you very clearly.
Nitawaleteni kwa wazi kabisa.
This classic case of Syria.
Huu mfano ulio wazi kabisa wa Syria.
Which is still a developing story even now.
Ambayo mpaka wa sasa ni hadithi inayoendelea.
That the UN is even defeated on how to handle.
Ya kwamba Umoja wa Mataifa umeshindwa hata usuluhishe vipi.
And then after I finish with that rider of the pale horse.
Na kisha nitakapotamatisha na huyo mpanda farasi wa kijivujivu.
Then I'll go back to the second horseman.
Basi nitarejelea mpanda farasi wa pili.
The vision of April 2nd.
Maoni ya tarehe 2 ya Aprili.
And link it to the big message for tonight.
Na kuunganisha na ujumbe mkubwa wa usiku wa leo.
And tonight's message.
Na ujumbe wa usiku wa leo.
The most sensitive information the Lord has sent me with.
Habari nyeti kabisa ambazo Bwana amenituma nazo.
Is regarding the war between Israel and Iran.
Ni kuhusu vita kati ya Israeli na Iran.
Which is about to happen, coming up.
Ambavyo viko karibu kabisa kutendeka.
Everybody watching news sees that this is now going to happen.
Kila mtu anayetazama habari anaona kwamba hii inaenda kutendeka.
What is the significance of that war?
Je, vita hivyo vinamaanisha nini?
How is it related to rapture?
Na ni kwa namna gani vinaambatana na ujumbe?
Hallelujah. You are back live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour.
And you've been listening to Dr. David Awar, the mighty prophet of the Lord, share the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen to the church, and spent a significant amount of time on the black horse. This is a continuation of the four apocalyptic horsemen, where in our prior segment we covered the white horse. The white horse that the Lord has revealed as deception. The four horsemen are found at the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, and in John's Gospel, it is not there. The revelation was given directly to John in the book of Revelation. The four horsemen are sent as a gift, privilege to this generation, that we would live to see the dispensation of these four horsemen. It is a lavishing of love by our Lord and Savior that we cannot take for granted. For this was timed when the dawn of the clock of time was set by the Lord God himself, that we would be here to witness these events. And as the mighty prophet shared on the black horse, the prophecy in 2008, I think most in America, if they had any financial interests at all, were well aware of the financial crisis that developed. A couple of interesting things that happened during that time frame that had never, ever happened before in the history of global commerce and global economics, and that was when Lehman Brothers failed. Lehman was a shareholder of the Federal Reserve Board. That's the U.S. bank that's owned by several other large banks, essentially a shareholder corporation, even though it goes by the name of Federal Reserve. And that's very significant because that means that your primary shareholders in your government system have collapsed. A couple of other items that happened as the black horse was released, we saw panic and the rule of law completely disregarded here in the United States. The first one was the sanctity of contract, and that was bondholders that had senior debt and Lehman Brothers were disregarded for special interest groups. That's the equivalent of loaning somebody money for a car, using the car as collateral, and they take the car away from you and give you the hubcaps. And by the way, much of that is still in litigation today, 6 years after the fact. So traumatic was it to the entire global financial system. We heard from the mighty prophet that it comes in waves and that there is an exponential impact with the horses. And so as the black horse rider has scales in his hands, we can clearly see the fraudtocracy, if you will, the unbalance, the inapplicable justice of laws that are being applied. And that's because of deception. The white horse, the deception that has run rampant in the church, and there is no righteousness in the church, and so we shouldn't be surprised if there is no righteousness in the business world, and if our leaders are not given the moral compass from the church, where will they learn righteousness, and where will they learn holiness? And this is part of the compounding, the exponential compounding, as the mighty prophet said, as the four horsemen are working together. But we praise the Lord that we're here now, and the four horsemen were sent as a wake-up call, too, also for the church. We'll hear more on the oil and wine of the black horse. It's Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius,
in 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. That's Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and we see the scales introduced, and then we see the oil and wine church spoken directly from the throne of the Lord. And we'll get into more and a deeper revelation of that in later segments. But it's important to lay the foundation that the black horse is still running, that the system has been proven to be fatally flawed, and that our World Bank and IMF, known as the International Bailout Organizations, are primarily owned 17% to 20% by yours truly, the United States of America. And as the mighty prophet went through the math and the arithmetic, if your number one shareholder is losing their AAA rating, what does that say for the rest of the world? Scripture in Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 18. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. That's Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. We see very similar scripture again, and we would. The Lord's very consistent throughout the scriptures. This is Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. And we see the four horsemen, and we see the black horse running wild, and we get lulls and interludes, and then the next and the preceding waves continue to get amplified. And yet we still have those that are trying to survive in a bunker mentality, 401k and hedging and silver and gold and options and futures and all of these things. Let's not forget the guns and the ammo that we see people stockpiling to and food. And yet the Lord tells us clearly, well in advance, that these days would come, and the day will come when they'll even throw their silver and gold in the streets, for it will not deliver. You are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. We were listening to Dr. David O'War, the prophecy directly to the church of the four apocalyptic horsemen. Pastor Jose is with us from the California altar. And Pastor Jose, we listened to one segment of this Acacia, and the mighty prophet closed it out with Syria. And interestingly enough, Syria is still embroiled, and we still see the four horsemen running. We still see people in the United States and in the church counting their 401ks and counting their savings and thinking that, well, that was just a one-off event. We'll go about our business as usual. What has the Lord put on your heart this evening, Pastor Jose?
Amen, Pastor Lou, and all the precious saints that are tuned in, the precious pastors that are here with us today. Yes, this is very critical, as we are seeing, and all these major events that are occurring, as you've heard the mighty prophet of the Lord say, and Pastor Lou mentioned Syria and all these major, major events that are occurring. And we see this civil war now in Syria that has tore up that country for the last few years, and the deaths that have come from that. And we don't see any clear ending in sight on that. As a matter of fact, we now see this group that is running rampant out of Iraq, going through Syria, into all the neighboring countries, this caliphate, this Islamic caliphate that is trying to take over these governments and establish a new regime. And we see that they are clearly, and their intention is to head towards Israel and Jerusalem. So we can see all these major events that are occurring are all biblical end time events. The days we are living in, precious saints, are very, very critical, as our Lord is so precious and so humble that he is giving us clear warning and time to prepare, time to repent, time to surrender. As this could have come on like a hammer to the world without warning, but yet we are given a chance and a little bit of time to repent and prepare. And like we have heard, the oil and the wine church, the church that is being preserved by the Lord, will be the church that will enter. Those will be the chosen few that are spoken in the word of the Lord that will enter. As we clearly see that servants of the Lord are being sent to warn the people, to invite the people to the banquet, the marriage supper banquet of the Lord. And many, many are rejecting. The majority will reject the warning of the Lord, as we can see from the word of the Lord. And those that are rejecting this warning are clearly the church of the world. And a lot of those are the church of the world that know we're living in these days, but are buying their oil from the world and are still preparing, like Pastor Lou mentioned, stocking up the food, stocking up with gold and silver, because they know that the U.S. dollar will eventually fail, and it won't be worth even the paper that it's printed on. So they are going to the gold and the silver. But as you have heard from the word of the Lord that Pastor Lou read from in Zephaniah and in the book of Ezekiel, they won't be able to help you in those days. The precious metals will be worthless because nothing can withstand the wrath of the Lord. I want to read from the word of the Lord, and I will be reading from Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 to 4. Again, this is Leviticus 24, verses 1 to 4. And it's titled, from where I'm reading from, Olive Oil and Bread Set Before the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning continually. Outside the curtain that shield the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of the meeting, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening till morning continually. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord must be tended continually. Precious saints, we are to keep our lamps burning. And this can only be accomplished by the precious Holy Spirit and that clear oil that is brought from Him and Him alone. And we must tend to that lamp from evening till morning continually. We must keep this lamp burning, and the only way is to surrender in repentance before the Lord and to prepare and to surrender before Him. The fear of the Lord is a must. That is the very beginning of wisdom. We need to be completely submissive to the Lord. We have a messenger from the Lord sent to us. And I can tell you, precious saints, that if you reject this messenger and the message that's being brought by this messenger, you will not enter. You will not enter. This is the end time message. This is the messenger of the Lord. He brings with him the message of the Holy Spirit to help us tend our lamps and keep our lamps burning continually. I want to read from the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. I want to repeat that. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Precious saints, we need to surrender to the Lord. This is a very critical hour. This is a very critical message. We must learn to stand alone, because we will be standing alone. The majority will reject this message all the way until the Lord shuts the door behind us. And they will realize after the fact. Please take heed to the message of the Lord, to the warning of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. That's straight and unadulterated, precious listeners, that if this message is rejected, it will not enter. This isn't news. This is found throughout the Bible, specifically and most saliently in the Gospel of John, where Jesus himself says, "The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." And Jesus goes on to say that he speaks not on his own behalf, but on behalf of the Lord, everything that he said. And then he warns his servants and says, if they do not accept you with this message, they do not accept me. And we see this repeated throughout in the scriptures. And Christ encourages us and says, if this is how they treat the Master, that is the Lord Jesus, how do you suppose they will treat his servants? And there are many other parables and examples that our Lord gave where the son of the vineyard is actually beaten by those that tend the vineyard. We won't go into any of the specific details for now, but just to buttress a very strong word that you heard, that this message can't be rejected because it comes from the throne of the Lord. He's calling all people and all nations everywhere that it's now time to repent. It's now time to prepare to present before the Lord. It is now time to prepare to appear before the Lord. And most of us, if we were honest, have spent more time for a job interview or a court hearing than we have for standing before the King of Kings. And many have taken their salvation for granted, abused the grace of God, and trampled underfoot the goodness of the Lord and treated it as a fire insurance policy and then go about living any way that they want to. And this message is clear from the Lord. It's time to repent, and it's time to prepare. Pastor Albanos Gutierrez from Maryland Altar, hallelujah, if you're still with us, quite a bit of information, quite a bit of the word of the Lord that the mighty prophet released of the Acacia. What has the Lord placed on your heart this evening for the national audience, Pastor Albanos?
Thank you so much, pastors, and our listeners. From that message from the mighty prophet of the Lord, we have seen clearly, according to Revelation chapter 6, the white horseman, the red horseman, black horseman, pale horseman, they have all been released and confirmed. If you know, and those who live in spirit, who have their spiritual eyes open and spiritual ears open, that tells you time is over. We must repent because the Messiah, like the Bible says, come like a thief. In addition to that, on that Revelation chapter 6, talks about, although horsemen, they have the authority, especially the black horsemen, to destroy the economy, he has been warned not to damage the oil and the wine church. But how do you know the church is not working, or the church is not an oil and wine church? Because when the church is walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be fear of the Lord, redemption. It's going to be under the open heaven where you're going to see the revival. You're going to see healings, miracles. But you don't see that in most churches in the United States. So what do you see? It's the opposite of that. There's no fear of the Lord. Pastors do not rebuke sin anymore. Pastors do not rebuke sin anymore. You hear the gospel, sow a seed, receive a miracle. smelling of the anointing oil, water from River Jordan. You see women walking with miniskirts and tight clothes, and the pastor doesn't even rebuke sin. You see multi-level marketing where pastors nowadays, they are even selling products from different corporations using Bible verses, and they get commission from these companies. You see pastors, before you go book an appointment with these pastors, some of them, they have to check your name on the book of tithe and offering. That's the kind of confusion you see in most churches in the United States and around the world. The gospel of prosperity, the church is not under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's also, in addition to that, you go to the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. You see, the days are coming, declares the Lord, the sovereign Lord, when I will send famine through the land, not a famine of food or dust, or a dust of for water, but a famine of hearing the word of God. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And that's exactly what you see today in most churches. People moving from one church to another, searching, but they cannot be fed or they cannot be full because of they are not walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, time is over. We must repent because the Messiah is going to come like a thief, and without holiness, no one is going to see the Lord. Back to you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Albanez. Pastor Albanez Gutierrez of Maryland Altar. Pastor Nilda Mayo, if you're still with us, if you'd like to share with the Spanish-speaking audience, a lot of material and a lot to cover, and there's ample time this evening. Pastor Nilda.
Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Glory to God.
Gloria a Dios, a powerful message. Amados hermanos, espero que estén todavía sintonizados para que puedan escuchar una breve traducción o un breve resumen de lo que ha hablado el poderoso profeta del Señor estos últimos días, el doctor David Owar. Empezó primero con una vigilia de la noche allá en Kenia, y en esta vigilia habló el profeta sobre cómo el Señor le había encomendado restaurar y reparar, instalar el altar en su iglesia, que ha sido contaminado con el pecado. Empezó esta vigilia. También dijo el siervo de Dios que ya no puedes hacer las cosas como antes, casualmente, lo usual en el altar de Dios. ¿Cómo podemos? Y preguntó, ¿cómo es que podemos ir al altar de Dios, a su altar, y mentir y vestir en una forma inmoral y llevar toda clase de pecado sexual al altar santo de Jehová? Dice el profeta del Señor, abre tu Biblia. Dice, yo he visto la boda, las bodas del Cordero de Dios. Y aquí él está hablando con su lengua profética. Dice que está hablando sobre los cuatro gloriosos caballos del Apocalipsis. Antes de ir a hablar sobre la guerra que viene a Israel, el tema principal de este mensaje
el enfoque que él quería dar en este mensaje es sobre el jinete del caballo rojo de Apocalipsis. Estamos en Apocalipsis 6, capítulo 6. Pero antes de ir a ese jinete rojo del caballo rojo, él quiere enfocarse en este porque es el que se relaciona a la guerra que viene a Israel. Pero antes de hacer esto, yo creo que él lo va a hacer en otro próximo segmento. Ahora él lo que dio fue un resumen sobre los otros dos jinetes. Dice, es obvio que ninguna piedra ha sido dejada una sobre otra después de que ha entrado el primer jinete, el del caballo blanco. Ese jinete ha traído un estado de apostasía muy avanzado a la iglesia. Se ha movido, a la iglesia afuera del camino que Dios planeó para ella. Él dice que, el Señor dice que cualquiera que lo siga no puede caminar en la oscuridad. Y ahora la iglesia está, por causa de este impostor que vino a engañar, la iglesia está caminando en otro camino, que es el de la oscuridad. Y esto ha pasado después del lanzamiento de este caballo blanco. Ha caído en pecado, y ese pecado ha llegado al púlpito, a la congregación, y ha llegado a tal nivel extremo de apostasía que eso indica y habla de que el tiempo se acabó. La abominación de la desolación que pasa cuando la iglesia se ha quitado. Este jinete del caballo blanco ha causado que la iglesia se duerma. Ha sido el más peligroso de todos los jinetes porque él le ha causado a la iglesia pensar que ella está por buen camino, que no se ha perdido, que no está caminando en el camino de la oscuridad. Pero este es el peligro, que la iglesia está inmune al pecado, inmune al camino del Señor. Escucha, novia, la que todavía no le ha penetrado las flechas del impostor del caballo blanco. Más adelante, el profeta del Señor va a hablar sobre el jinete del caballo rojo, porque está conectado con Israel, con la guerra que viene a Israel. Pero seguimos con el caballo blanco. Él trae el engaño. Ahora nos movemos al rojo. El rojo, bueno, todavía no. El rojo, él va a hablar más sobre el rojo más adelante, porque es el que trae el sangramiento. Ahora nos movemos al tercero, que es el jinete del caballo negro, que trae la crisis global, que todavía la sentimos por todo el mundo. Su efecto todavía se mueve. También está el cuarto caballo, que es el jinete del caballo amarillo. Cuando son los cuatro que han sido lanzados, el efecto de los cuatro se aumenta. Ya han sido lanzados, de hecho, pero no es que uno ha sido lanzado, digamos, cuando se lanzó el jinete del caballo blanco, y entonces él anduvo primero solo. El jinete del caballo rojo pero el blanco no se fue, sino que más bien él se quedó todavía operando en la tierra. Lo que pasó ahora es que cuando se soltó el rojo, ahora son dos, entonces se ha aumentado, se ha agravado, se ha combinado las fuerzas de los dos, incluso tercero, que es el del jinete del caballo negro, se lanzó y ahora no solo eran dos, sino que eran tres. Eso complica las cosas porque el efecto aumenta. Ahora tienes tres que están operando. Y el cuarto que llegó también, que se lanzó en Egipto, cuando pasó la crisis, la protesta en Egipto, ahora tenemos los cuatro jinetes del Apocalipsis operando juntos en la tierra. Entonces, esto es lo que todo entonces ha escalado. Entonces, nos podemos imaginar el efecto de los cuatro jinetes obrando juntos. Si hemos visto la falta de la paz en la tierra, todo el mundo, la crisis global, entonces, habló el profeta sobre esos jinetes y todavía no se ha movido al rojo, pero él quiere también compartir primero un poco sobre los otros jinetes que le mencioné anteriormente. El tercer jinete del caballo, que es el del caballo negro, Char en la grabación, un noticiero que estaba reportando sobre la crisis global en Italia, en Grecia y en esencia en todo el mundo, el colapso económico fue muy devastador para muchas naciones. Han reducido el grado de la economía en 9 países en Europa. Podemos ver en las noticias que habla del efecto directo de este jinete del caballo negro. Una noche el Señor le habló al profeta en una conversación muy poderosa. Esa fue la primera vez que él, inmediatamente que recibió esa visión, a la medianoche, transmitió del radio, porque sentía mucha urgencia para compartir esta visión. Fue cuando el mensajero del cielo se le presentó al siervo de Dios y todo su cuerpo estaba cubierto con abejas, incluso sus ojos, y cuando él hablaba caían las abejas de su boca. Este mensajero tenía parecido al profeta del Señor. Y él, ese mensajero le dijo a él que él ha colapsado a todas las instituciones financieras. Pero ves en resumen que se ha dado la noticia que yo vi, el lanzamiento del caballo negro. Esto salió en todas las noticias. Se cumplió esta visión, esta profecía. Pasó como un mes después y entonces ocurrió en octubre 2008, cuando el Lehman Brothers colapsó y desató
una crisis global que corrió por todas las naciones. Y después, al poco tiempo, también pronuncié otra profecía que venía otra crisis global. Y al tiempo ocurrió la crisis financiera muy seria en Grecia. Este es el cumplimiento de la visión de agosto del jinete del caballo negro. Pasó por Grecia y todavía sigue globalmente mientras que la historia se desarrolla. También puedo mencionar a España y a otros países, pero Grecia es un caso clásico y debemos temer porque él todavía posiblemente no ha cruzado por su nación. Para entender qué complicado está el caballo, el jinete del caballo negro, podemos ver que cómo afectó a Grecia. El resultado de este caballo es devastador. Como mencionamos antes, también a Italia, a Portugal, la China, incluso también, y India también, la economía ha bajado. El efecto que ha tenido en los Estados Unidos es obvio. Desde el trono de Dios, el profeta del Señor trajo esta profecía tan tremenda que se ha cumplido, que ha devastado nación tras nación. Se oye por todos los noticieros que temen la recesión, la depresión. Una crisis económica tremenda por toda la tierra. Las naciones que habían sido consideradas de triple, de económicamente triple A, todas se reducieron. También vemos la gran hambruna en Somalia, en Kenia, en Etiopía, en Nigeria. La visión de 2008, el tercer sello que se rompió, en esta, el jinete del caballo negro trajo la crisis económica y la hambruna. Y mira el efecto de este jinete del caballo negro. Todo el mundo estaba tambaleando. En Mateo 24, versículo 8, habla que esos solo son los principios de los dolores. Si lo que hemos estado experimentando es solo el principio de los dolores de parto, entonces qué horrendo será lo que viene, la crisis global que va a aumentar durante la tribulación. Esto nos habla de que cuando veamos el cumplimiento de todos, el cumplimiento del trabajo de todos estos jinetes de los caballos de Apocalipsis, tenemos que entender que ellos han venido a madurar a la tierra para la tribulación.
Recuerdo en la visión de abril 2004, dijo el profeta, la gloria cubría el trono de Dios. Se veía la luna y el cordero de Dios. La luna se volvió roja como sangre, y esa sangre hizo sombra sobre toda la tierra, la cubrió. En el próximo segmento veremos sobre Israel, dijo el profeta del Señor. Pero antes de eso, él quiso mencionar sobre el caballo del jinete amarillo. Se ha visto el efecto de este jinete en Siria, en Libia, en Egipto, donde fue soltado este jinete del caballo amarillo, en Yemen y en varios otros lugares. El mensaje de esta noche es principalmente referente a la guerra en Israel que está a punto de ocurrir. Y en la próxima, en el próximo segmento, el profeta dice que quiere relacionarlo, cómo, quiere enseñar cómo esto se relaciona al rapto. Hermanos, después de eso, los pastores hablaron brevemente sobre este estudio que acabamos de escuchar, esta enseñanza. Mencionaron varias escrituras que ustedes pueden buscar en sus Biblias, en sus casas. Está en Levíticos 24, 1 al 4, primero de Juan, capítulo 3, de 7 al 9. El pastor José, creo que fue el que mencionó sobre cómo la economía ya está bastante mal, pero va a llegar el momento también que el dólar, por ejemplo, no va a valer ni el papel en el que está imprimido. Y la gente tal vez pensará que, si tengo metales preciosos como el oro o la plata o lo que sea. Pero en Sefanías y en Ezequiel mencionó él que habla sobre que nada nos va a servir en ese tiempo porque nada puede contra el Señor. Lo que él ha dicho en la Biblia se cumplirá. Todas las profecías en la Biblia se cumplirán, porque la palabra nos dice que el Señor no es un hombre para mentir. Y todo se va a cumplir, hermanos. Les animamos a que ustedes mismos busquen y le pidan al Espíritu Santo con toda humildad, un corazón contrito, que les enseñe, que les muestre, que les abra el entendimiento espiritual más y más. Así como todos nosotros tenemos que hacer, tenemos que constantemente estar a sus pies, arrodillados de corazón y de toda forma, pidiéndole al Santo Espíritu que por favor no nos olvide, que no nos pase, que esté con nosotros, porque ya vemos que el tiempo es corto. Soy un corto ejemplo. En los últimos años, tenemos aquí como un arbolito de unas, son unas cerecitas que hay aquí en Estados Unidos, y supongo que están en otros lados, son unas azulitas. Todos los años, como a este tiempo, pues, de hecho, ahora en agosto están dando fruto. Y cada año, no sé por qué, pero el Señor de una manera u otra me hablaba por medio de ese árbol. Y recuerdo una vez en particular que hace unos 3 años, tal vez, digamos, más o menos, que yo fui a coger los frutos y recoger el fruto y estaba en abundancia. Era tanto que, no sé, me impresionó mucho. Y en lo que yo estaba tomando las frutas y poniéndolas en un vaso, yo sentí que el Señor me hablaba y me decía que así es la cosecha, ¿verdad? Y específicamente creo que me estaba hablando de las primicias. Como ya, bueno, ahí estaban. Y ayer yo fui a hacer lo mismo con el arbolito, a coger el fruto. Y entonces lo que yo vi me sorprendió mucho, porque lo que vi era que no había mucho fruto, primero que todo. Habían algunos, pero no muchos, no estaban en abundancia. Entonces fui a tomar los que estaban maduros, listos. Pero entonces me fijé en lo que yo estaba recogiendo, que había como una, no sé qué es, pero algo que estaba creciendo en la mata que no era saludable, no sé si era como un cáncer o algo malo, ¿verdad?, que estaba pasándole al arbolito. Y en lo que yo recogía, yo sentí que el Espíritu Santo me decía, me hablaba a mí, me decía en mi corazón que ve, recoge los últimos que quedan ahí. No hay muchos, ahora lo que está entrando al árbol es algo que no es bueno, como un cáncer. Entonces yo pensé, es como la iglesia, que ahora él está recogiendo a todos sus siervos, a los que los de buen fruto que todavía están ahí, y lo que ahora está entrando no es bueno. Entonces eso me impresionó mucho ayer, porque yo sentí entonces que lo que me estaba diciendo el Señor por medio de eso era que ya estamos cerca de la partida con el Señor. Entonces tenemos que mantener eso en mente para estar listos, para que no nos porque nos podemos distraer tan fácilmente. Entonces debemos de continuamente, a cada momento, a cada instante, estar pidiéndole al Espíritu Santo que nos chequee. Y para eso tenemos que darle todo. Entonces eso es lo que yo les aliento hoy, para que ustedes puedan hacer lo necesario. Y Dios, la paz del Señor esté con ustedes y mucha bendición, hermano. Gracias.
Gracias. Gracias. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Thank you, Pastor Nilda. That's Pastor Nilda Maya of the New York altar. A quick scripture, and you'll see a consistent theme that woven throughout the scripture. The voice of our Lord resonating clearly and concisely to his children. Let's start very briefly at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, just 3 verses from verse 12 to verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Here's the target scripture. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. And this is where much twisting
and contortions are done, because the church would rather say, and the apostates would say, oh, we're not under law, we're under grace, we can do whatever, and they have forgotten that the Lord says, by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And again, in Young's literal translation, no fooling around. This is the bare-knuckled version of the scripture. For sin over you shall not have lordship. And again, for sin over you shall not have lordship. And we see this also consistent in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, as the Lord is addressing the churches. 5 out of the 7 churches were commanded to repent. And one of the consistent themes, including repentance, is overcoming. And here again, we see that we are given the grace to overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb. We see it again in John chapter 14, where we started the segment. And the Lord promises us a helper, John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's the sure promise of our Lord and Savior, that the Helper, the mighty Holy Spirit, would be the one, as we touched on earlier in the segment, the anointing to overcome sin, the anointing to be a bright light in a dark world, the ability to overcome. It's by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. I'm sure many will say, well, how do we even go about repenting with the bondage that we're in? We have forgotten the power of the blood and the cross. That's the power of deliverance. So powerful that it can translate a child of darkness into a child of the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God. A complete and total transformation from bondage to freedom, from death to life. These are the scriptures from our Lord and Savior, and we know the Lord, he is true, and all men are liars. We have the witnesses all about us. We have seen many delivered from drugs, pornography, sex abuse, murdering spirits, anger, depression, insanity, psychosis, and it goes on and on. Gambling and habituates and all sorts of other self-destructive activities that when the and witchcraft, and it goes on and on. And when we repent and we turn away, we return to the blood and the cross. The power of the blood breaks all curses. The power of the blood and the cross can transform a life entirely. And so the question becomes, for those that say we believe, we call upon the name of the Lord, and if your life is not one of living in righteousness and living in holiness, are you really serving the Lord or serving another Lord, the God of this earth and the God of mammon and the God
of the flesh, requiring yet again another deliverance. One final scripture, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and this specifically relates to the black horse, and we see the hoarding going on and the scrambling for insurance products and 401k products and financial advice and all sorts of credit lines and many financial gymnastics for one to hedge one's livelihood and worldly possessions. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, we see the Lord's perspective. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And again, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Amen. Consistent throughout the scriptures, we heard it read again, Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We saw in John chapter 14, to keep the commands of our Lord, if we say we call upon the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, if we say we love him, but we're walking in lawlessness and unrighteousness and sin, we are liars, and we need to repent. Final scripture, Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. That's Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. When Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which the Lord had not commanded them. And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And our Lord is holy, and we have had a tendency all throughout the land to grade our holiness on a curve, that we're doing better than our neighbors, or we're doing better than the riffraff that some would portray on TV. And it's important to remember the word of the Lord. The Lord does not grade holiness on a curve. His holiness changes not. And there is a zero, zero tolerance to sin. And so now, how much more important is it that we walk in the power of the mighty Holy Spirit? How much more important is it that we go back to the blood and the cross, the Lamb without defect, the perfect sacrifice, as such an hour as this? Because we're all obviously works in progress, but the church has used that as a license to sin, licentiousness, lasciviousness, and all the things of the world. And it cost Christ everything. And the Lord is calling us today to righteousness and holiness and repentance, and has sent the horsemen, the four apocalyptic horsemen, to wake up the church, to bring out the oil and wine church, to bring out and protect the wine and oil church, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. We have a few minutes left. Pastor Jose, I'm going to hand off to you. We have about 5 minutes left. If there's anything else that you'd like to close and can lead the listeners into a repentance prayer, too, if the Lord so leads, Pastor Jose.
Amen, Pastor Lou. I wanted to read from the Word of the Lord, from
Amen.
The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I want to thank the Lord so much for his word, precious people, and for the mighty Holy Spirit that
Amen.
Has been sent to guide us. As Pastor Lou read from the book of John, that we have not been left like orphans, but have the mighty Holy Spirit here with us to guide us. And this is the church of the oil and the wine that is being preserved at this hour and is being prepared at this hour for the rapture of the bride. I want to welcome all of you who are tuned in who would like to receive the Lord to please repeat the prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, we come before you in complete repentance, repentance of all my sins. I pray that you wash me clean with the precious blood of the Lamb that is still flowing today and that is washing us white as snow. Please send us your precious, these precious garments, these wedding garments, and that we may preserve them white as snow for the day of your return for your bride. Please send us your mighty Holy Spirit to help us walk on this narrow path that leads into the kingdom of God, and that we will prepare us to enter on that great and mighty day. Thank you, Lord, so much. And I say in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are now born again. Thank you, precious Lord Jesus. And I pray that you bless all these precious saints that are tuned in today and that you may reveal to them this message of warning that you are spreading through all the nations of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We thank the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Jose. Thank you, Pastor Albanos, for your generous time. Thank you, Pastor Nova and Pastor Raymond, too. And we welcome and we thank the Lord for the precious listeners throughout the United States and throughout the globe. Remember, the materials are available and free, all of them, on the website at repent, repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's www.repentandprepareTheWay.org. Many teachings, PDFs, videos, MP3s, and the Lord has provided abundantly, and it is free, free to all. And we thank you. And until our next segment, which is Wednesday, and as the Lord leads, we bless the Lord. We thank you, mighty Father, in Jesus' holy name. And we pray, amen, amen, and shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.